This conference will...
The book, by the way, the book of the month for April is going to be Gopher Nose. I'll review that. That came as a suggestion from another presidential, so I'll do that at the end of April. This one is March's book. Remember we put Mexico in, slid that in because it was so hot, so I thought that would come first. Feel the Fear and Beyond is the name of the book. Susan Jeffers, who's a PhD, is the author of this book. She also wrote her first book around this issue was really Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And if you haven't read that one, I suggest you go back and take a peek at that one as well. It really establishes kind of the foundation about fear in our lives. I did a little bit under the first paragraph in the outline. I talked a little bit about what that original book established and just kind of the foundation for it. And in her first book, she talked about the five truths. And the first truth is life is going to produce fear no matter what. In other words, the idea of our lives isn't to avoid fear. It's what do we do when it enters our life? Because if you're going to be stepping out and green and growing and you're going to be adopting change in your life, anytime you do something new, there's going to be fear. Change inherently creates fear because what? When we step into something, it's an unknown. When we change and do something different, it's an unknown. Recently, I started doing some real estate business, and that was brand new. I mean, I'd done some investment in the past, but it really was kind of new. So, you know, it's an unknown, but you're going to make mistakes, and you feel uneasy. There's going to be an uneasiness around it, and that uneasiness comes from a sense of a little bit of fear because you don't know what's going to really happen. You don't know, but you do it anyway. I mean, that's kind of the concept of her book. But the first truth is that we will always encounter fear if we're green and growing. If you choose to just sit back at home in a comfort zone and never do anything and never make an impact and not go out and, you know, take on challenges and do something new and different and change, then you probably can avoid more fear in your life. But I don't think you're going to be fulfilling perhaps the purpose that you're here for, because it's about change, about making a difference out there and doing something different and taking on challenges. And that's the way you really can reach the greatest fulfillment. Truth number two is the only way to get rid of fear of something is to do it. Jump in. The water's fine. Action is necessary. So it's not about standing back and feeling the fear and backing off. It's about feeling the fear and taking action. Number three, the only way to feel better about yourself is to go out and do it. In other words, go out and feel better about yourself. If you want to try to break through some of the things that are holding you back, lack of confidence, self-esteem, all these things that people talk about, how do you get those things? You gain confidence by tackling things that you've been putting off, you've been procrastinating on, things that are standing in your way, just busting through and doing it anyway. So much of my coaching around the people that I work with in my organization is around exactly that point. How do I incentivize people and motivate them to do things they wouldn't do without having Mary Jo in their life? And that's what I do. As a leader, that's what you want to do. You want to get people to do things they wouldn't otherwise do without your involvement in their life. In fact, that's a great definition of leader. So what you want to do is you want to help lead people, but you can't lead people because if you're not doing it yourself, you've got to be willing to jump in and do something different, try something different. I'm doing something totally different. I don't know. I shared with some of you, but this year I decided I need an accountability partner. I mean, not that I didn't need one all along. I'd interviewed life coaches in the past, but with Manatech, I just felt like, I need to get this thing back on track, really humming again. So I picked an accountability partner. We kind of picked each other. Another presidential is not in my organization. We're cross-line from each other, and I'm having a blast with it. It's doing something. I didn't know idea what it was going to be like, and it sure is pushing me and making me do things I wouldn't otherwise do if I didn't have her in my life. So what a wonderful thing to do. So you want to be taking action. It's necessary to take action, and that's what's going to overcome your shortcomings or your problems with some of your beliefs that you're carrying with you, is to take action and do things, get some self-confidence back in by tackling the things that you've lost your self-confidence or self-esteem with. The truth number four is not only are afraid when facing the unknown, so is everyone else. So not only are we afraid when we face an unknown, but so is everybody else. So many times when we face an unknown, we think that we're the only one out there. And honestly, that's absolutely the first thing from the truth. So you're just one of all of us. Even some of us now tackling our Manatech business, we're all out there. We're all facing an unknown. We don't know what's going to happen in Mexico, or we don't know what's going to happen to the company in the next 5 years. We don't know, you know, but you know what? We do it anyway. We let go of that fear, and we do it anyway. And that's something that we had to tackle. I'll share with you one of mine, because this whole exercise I did, people going through this book was huge for me. In fact, I'm still journaling on a big issue for myself that came up, and nothing like, you know, that's what books are about. They make you think about you and where you are in your life and what could be holding you back. And some people say, well, Mary Jo, how could anything be holding you back? You're just an ever-ready bunny. Well, there are things that hold us back, because sometimes just taking action isn't necessarily a great thing, because something's causing the action to be not on path. But the idea is that we want to be just constantly, you know, jumping in and going after things that we can tackle. And being one of mine was the one fear I had was a fear of, you know, you built this huge business, you've seen it deteriorate over some time because of the Texas AG and some things that have happened, and how do you rebuild the confidence? Well, you know, I was just researching for a passion, and all of a sudden I thought, well, wait a minute, it's all because of fear. It was fear, a fear I had inside about, well, I fear about the company and the future, and I was like, well, how stupid is that? I mean, anything that's new out there is going to have some fear associated with it. And we have new management. That has some fear because it's new, it's different. But the idea is that, am I going to grab onto the fear, or am I going to tackle it anyway? And it was really about me just saying, wow, everybody else is in the same boat I am. So let's jump on and make a run with this. Let's make this happen. I mean, but it was kind of a getting that camaraderie idea that I'm not the only one standing out here with that concept. And then the truth number 5 was pushing through fear is less frightening than living with the bigger underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. Wow. And that is so true. Because it's kind of like when you see those fears in your life and you come across some of the fears, you got to go, my gosh, am I going to hang in this sense of helplessness? What, you know, the alternative of pushing through it is not very attractive. I can't fathom sitting in a life with a feeling of helplessness. I mean, it's not even a concept. It can, when I look at that language, I said it's not even possible. But yet sometimes I let myself, you know, I look through even with the Manatech stuff, I go, sometimes I've let myself think, oh my gosh, well, I can't use all these materials, so now I'm helpless or something. I don't know. We do crazy rationalizations about why we're not growing and why we're not moving forward. So but they're not helping us. They're not supporting you. They're just robbing from you. It's the big thief. It's and maybe some of you on the call today, it's going to be something that you see, but you haven't quite quantified it yet. So you haven't viewed it as a thief. You haven't viewed it as a thief in the night stealing from you. And it's that thief that robs you. I kind of look at John 10:10 and I say, that's the thief we're talking about. It's the thief that robs you of having the abundance in your life that God is committed to us. He's covenanted that he's giving us abundance in life, but we're allowing thieves to come and steal that abundance. So truth number 5 is pushing through the fear is less frightening than living with the bigger underlying fear that comes with the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. So great, great, great. So the new book, so that's kind of, excuse me, that's kind of just a real brief. I mean, trust me, her book is filled with great stuff, her initial book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. But I just wanted to lay that foundation in case you wanted to go back and peek at that. I think it's a great book. I hand it out. I actually buy a number of copies and hand them out and give them to people, and I do it even in my foundation. I give some of my people I'm coaching in my foundation this book because I think it's so impactful. But her new book, is kind of a how-to book. It's Feel the Fear and Beyond. It's really written to help give you exercises to overcome the fears that are inherent in our life that come up and whatever else. So it's important for us to understand that we need it. We to tackle fears, you just don't say, okay, I'm not going to be fearful anymore. That doesn't work because fears come from habits. They come from habitual thought processes. They come from habits that we have, physical habits that we have. They come from our childhood. They come from all sorts of things that, things that have happened in our life that we carry with us, those rocks in our backpack that we carry with us. That's where our fears are associated with. So to fight them and get rid of them. We really do need to develop new habits, to replace bad habits with good habits, to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. It's imperative that we look at this as a program that we need some exercises around. We need some ways of tackling that so that we truly can remove them from our life. And it's, you know, if you don't agree with me, all you got to do is just take an exercise and just sit down and write down all the fears you have. And some of you are going, well, I don't have any fears. Well, I'm going to tell you people, I didn't think I had a lot of fears either, but reading this book just kind of put one incredible thing that came out of my life that I recognized was there before, but I never saw it as a fear. I never saw how it was impacting me until I did this book. So it was huge, and I journaled on it during the weekend, and I still have more journaling to do on it because it's uncovering a lot of stuff for me. So neat that we can do that. But you list all those fears that you might have, whether it's a fear of money. I mean, I think the majority of people, if you have scarcity mentality, you have a fear of money. Oh, no, Mary Jo, I don't have it. Yes, you do. Scarcity is fear. That's what scarcity is. The fear. So you start looking at, where are my fears? Fear of rejection. How are you operating with people? Do you care about people? What people think about you? That's a fear of rejection. It's a fear. You know, there's that great book out there that says, what people think of me is none of my business. And that's another great one that I recommend people have, because it's not a, if you live with your core values and you stick to your core values and you live every life in the alignment with those core values, then what people think of you is none of your business. You stay true to yourself. But it's that true to self that some people have a hard time with, because they haven't found that yet. They haven't found that rudder to put in the water, which is crucial to find as well. But the idea here is that we want to be what? We want to tackle these fears that we have. And she draws a distinction in this book. She talks about that we tend to live in what she calls the lower self versus higher self. She compares two different things, lower self versus higher self. And what makes a distinction about whether we live in one or the other? Well, I just want to tell you a little bit. There's a little paragraph in here I wanted to read you out of the book. It says, I'm sure there have been moments, however fleeting, when you have been able to access this transcendent place within. At those times, all seemed right with the world. The fear and struggles were replaced by a sense of all is well. Now, I know some of you on the call right now are going, Mary Jo, I haven't felt that in a very long time. But the idea of all is well, the sense of total wellness. But, she says, the feeling never lasts. Why? Because it's our tendency to revert to a more familiar part of ourselves that she calls the lower self. And the lower self is a place that's within us that kind of is filled with the negative qualities, such as anger, judgment, a sense of scarcity, helplessness, and, of course, fear. That's where our lower... And we tend to shift there. We tend to, if we let ourselves start drifting, we'll find ourselves drifting in that arena, which is it's just our kind of our psychology that causes us to go there. It's our normal sense. It's because we have this not enough stuff going on. We talked about The Soul of Money. That was a great book review, and that tells us a lot of the reasons why we get there out of scarcity and our relationship with money that causes so many things. The higher thinker, instead, when you become a higher self thinker instead of the lower self thinker, you know, you put yourself, the higher self is a space within each of us that's filled with all the nourishing qualities such as joy, creativity, intuition, peace, power, love, compassion, all the good things. So the goal is that we want to spend time in that higher self, the max time in higher self thinking. That's the goal in your life, because you want to continue to have your head filled with creativity, abundance, compassion, courage, joy, love. Those are the things that you want filling you every day, every moment. So that's the goal. And why we hang on to lower self living is basically because lower self living is, for the most part, becomes habitual. It's almost it almost has become involuntary. We don't voluntarily choose it. It's an action. It just becomes, it's a habit. It's part of who we are. So in order to overcome that, we need to have constant repetitive behavior of better habits to replace those old habits that drag us into that lower self. And that's why she feels it's so imperative that we do these exercises in this book. She gives us exercises to move us forward, to get us out of that lower self and get us living more on a day in and day out basis, on a minute by minute basis, being part of that higher thinker, that higher self thinking that goes on. And boy, it's true about, you know, even as positive as I think I am, I fall into that lower self from time to time. And I feel sorry for Lydia because sometimes she has to put up with me when I end there. But it's not very often, but it happens. And it's like we want to stay away from that. So let's go in and look at, now that we understand the whole concept here about getting us to that higher self-thinking, let's look at the 12 methods that she developed and set forth in her book to get you out of that lower self into a higher self, to allow you to overcome the fear. You know, overcome the fear, bust through it, get through it, and live a life of higher self-thinking. Number one method is to replace the chatterbox. And we all have chatterbox. And chatterbox, what is our chatterbox? Our chatterbox is that voice of that lower self that is trying to keep us into being, you know, in judgment and deception and it's not good enough or I'm not good enough, all the negative stuff that goes on, that's comes out, and or reasons why not, all the refocusing on why not instead of the whys, that's again part of that lower self convincing you to do that. So she says one of the greatest ways to replace the chatterbox is by using affirmations. One of her favorites is, it's all happening perfectly. Now, one of the exercises she suggests we do is you take on something that you're fearful on. And so I want you guys to just think about something that you fear. Think, come up with something. And for some of you, it might be your Manitech business. You fear success. You know, you fear failure in your Manitech business. Although I want to let you know that the fear of success is far greater than the fear of failure, if that's something that you can grapple with. It's a tough issue, but it's true. But the idea is that, are you fearful of failure in your Manitech business? Are you fearful you're not going to reach your goals? And she says, repeat 10 times. If that's a fear you have, or write down any fear. But after you write that fear down about, I fear I will not reach my goals in Manitech, I will not be able to financially secure, so whatever that might be, repeat 10 times the above affirmation. It's all happening perfectly. 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 And you do that 10 times, and then you say, okay, now how do you feel? I'm telling you, when you say that affirmation 10 times in relationship to fear, you're going to feel this a total sense of change. It'll be almost like a mini transformation takes place just in your belief system that all of a sudden, you know what, it's okay. I'm not lingering in that doubt. I'm not lingering with that thought. It's all happening perfectly. Another one is, I'm creating a wonderful life. I'm creating a wonderful life. If you get stuck in what ifs, because people go, oh, Mary Jo, but if I do that, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what? Oh my gosh, the what if people really, it's troublesome because I feel so, it gives me so much pain to hear the what if people. Are there always going to be what ifs to every action we take? Absolutely. But if you wallow in the what ifs, what are you doing? You're in a lower self thinking, negative, judgmental, you know, down, you know, angry, frustration. You get wallowed up in all that stuff. So get out of that what if stuff. So when you get into what ifs, and will you still, what if still enter? Of course, because a logical mind, when you start thinking about doing something, you start going, okay, what are my upsides, what are my downsides? You weigh the stuff. But the idea about if you start going into what ifs, you go, well, what if, well, I'll handle it. Just use the words, I'll handle it. What is it? I'll handle it. What if this happens? I'll handle it. So start picking up on this terminology to feed yourself, because your chatterbox is, otherwise your chatterbox is going to control you. And the other thing she suggested is that give your chatterbox a name so you can personally interact with it. Right now it's controlling you, and what you want to do is remove it from you. Make it an independent third party. When you give it a name, you've kind of treated it as something that's hounding you that's not really you. So call it, get a sassy name for it. You can call it whatever you want. George, call it Harry. You can call it Schmuck. Okay, Schmuck. You know, you can give it a negative name if you want to. You can, whatever you want to do, but give it a name. He says, get personal with it. So when it talks to you, talk back at it. So when you get that negative gibberish coming in about, I can't do this, oh, my business, what if my manatee business doesn't fail? You go, okay, schmuck. And you can start talking to it. Say, what is all that about? Where is that coming from? How silly is all of that? And where is, why is that even a part of my thought process? I'm going to just cause you to be quiet, schmuck, so shut you down. And you go on, move on. Okay, so that's getting rid of that chatterbox. You got to get rid of that little voice, people, that you've been listening to. It's and there's a great book out there, too, Helmstetter's book, about what to say to yourself when you talk to yourself, because we all talk to ourselves, but what we need to do is replace. It's a replacement. Bad talk to good talk. Number two, ask your higher self. In other words, start dealing with that higher self. What would my higher self tell me? What would my higher self tell me? So when you go into doubts and fears, you tap into your higher self. And an example of that would be, let's say that that you had a job interview or something. You were going to go for an you just interview for a job, and you might think, oh, I didn't do very well. So what is your lower self might be saying to you? Okay, lower self would be saying something like, I shouldn't have talked so much about my kids. Maybe they'll think I'm not qualified enough for the job. I really want this job. I bet I don't get it. Are you guys grappling with this? Do you ever have this go through your mind after? Oh, yeah, I can hear it. I don't even have to have you take you off mute. I can hear it. What will I do? I was so nervous. I really didn't do my best. I hope I looked okay. Oh, I said that one thing. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe my suit was too stiff. You know, my tie was crooked. Maybe I'm too old. I bet you these people just aren't going to hire me because I'm too old. You see all the crap? Sorry for the word crap. I don't like to use that word, but all the stuff. We make all this stuff up. That little voice that talks, that's lower self. So you start giving it a name, whether you call it schmuck or Harry or George. You go, enough, George. I've heard enough from you. All you are is full of garbage. There's not one truth to all that because it's all MSUs. It's all make stuff up. So when you get stuck in that stuff from your lower self, one of her techniques is to ask the higher self, okay, higher self, what would you tell me? Well, on the same job interview, the higher self might say, this job is not my life. I did my best. If I get the job, it's wonderful. And, you know, if I don't get the job, that's okay, too. I'll deal with it. I'll handle it. It would mean the job is not for me if I didn't get it. And then there's something else that's more perfect for me out there that I will come across. I let go and trust everything is happening, what, for my highest good. Isn't that great? How many of you do that? Oh, no, I don't even think about that. Why? Why aren't we thinking about that? What causes us to always look at the glass half empty? What is that about us? It's bad habits, people. When things don't happen, when that associate doesn't sign up with you, you go, you know what? It just wasn't right. It wasn't right. That person could have been a big drag on my time and energy and never worked out. I felt like I was just convincing them all the way along. And you know what? When you convince somebody, you're going to be convincing them all the way to the next 5 years as well. So, you know, she was going to be an energy drain for me. It wasn't going to work out. And I know there's a better person out there the Lord's waiting to bring in my life. So just go move on. Look at the positive side of it. Don't get down. Look at the greatness of it. That's why we need to go out there and talk to so many people, because there are right people out there. And I can't wait for our next book, Gopher Knows. You're going to really love that one. So get rid of that lower self thinking by asking, that's the second approach, is ask the higher self. What would the higher self say? What would the higher self say? And then draft some of those things. She had a suggestion on your desk that you put what the higher self would say. And most of it's positive affirmations, and you just set it out on your desk so that you look at it every day. What would your higher self say about it? You can have little cards you put in your wallet. What's that joyful, that healthy, stronger, joyful part of us, who we are? What would that side of me say? What would my higher self say? And just put that on a desk, like I said, on your desk. Put a little card. You can even get it typed up so it's more professional. Get it laminated. What would my higher self say? And focus on what would my higher self say? What is that voice of my higher self? And just write the language, what would my higher self say on that? So you focus on that and move yourself out of the lower self. All right, number three, say yes to life. The word yes is incredibly powerful. It's optimistic. It's forward going. It's part of what your higher self thinking. No is the opposite. Yes is the higher self thinking. No is the opposite. Why? Because yes says, no matter what happens in my life, I'll make something wonderful out of it. That's what yes says. No matter what happens in my life, I'll make something wonderful out of it. Isn't that a great positive statement? She talked about her experience. The author, Susan Jeffers, had breast cancer. And because of her tremendous response, she got a reward award for it. She went to a banquet. And as she was on stage, she gave her acceptance speech for this award. And she talked about Viktor Frankl's Man's Search of Meaning. And some of you have read that book. If you haven't, I highly suggest you get that book and read it. It will change your life. But she read this book. It's about the guy in the concentration camp, right, who survived his concentration camp because he kept a positive attitude. And if he could say yes to all the horrible plight of what was happening around him and to him in the concentration camp, then how can we not say yes to anything that happens to us? It's incredible. So she talked about that. It was what caused her to have such great, incredible strength going through breast cancer, the challenges she had. And she could continue to be a possible, have a positive attitude and be of a great, you know, attitude about what her future was and everything else that was going on. Because, you know what, no matter what happened, she said, I'll handle it. Just as Viktor Frankl. Don't focus on the bad, focus on the greatness. Focus on the good. Keep that higher self going. That book is all about staying in the higher self. So one of the exercises she said around this is that list all your fears. Make a list of those fears. Pull that list out that you made and just say to each one of them, I can say yes to this. Because if it truly comes true and happens, I will find many blessings that will enrich my life. I can say yes to this because if it ever happens, I will find many blessings that will enrich my life. Next. What a wonderful way to look at life. What a wonderful disposition to put yourself in. This is positioning yourself, people. It's living a life of that higher self, a fulfilled life, a rich life, instead of one that robs you every day. Number four, another exercise, let go of outcomes. We're always so tied up in what if these are the kind of the what ifs. You know, we're so worried about what's the result's going to be. And some people talk about, you know, we talk about, some people, we all do, we talk about visualizations, and I love it. I get dream boards because what do we know about psychology? When you put pictures up all over the place, for those going to Atlantis, I suggest you put a bunch of pictures up around your house of Atlantis because that's what helps drive you to get there. Visualization is a very, very powerful tool. But even with visualization, how many of you have done dream boards or done something like that and it didn't come true? If I had you in a class raising your hands, I would suggest the majority, if not every one of you, would be raising your hands right now. Because what do we know about visualization? It's a great tool, but it doesn't always create the results because we're involved in the process. But don't get out a hammer and beat up on you. Be good with it either way. We use visualizations as a tool to drive us and motivate us, but sometimes it just doesn't quite get us there. For some reason, we get in the way with some of our stuff. I'm going to tell you a lot of it has to do with our lower self thinking. But sometimes, but we've got to get to the point where we've got to let go of outcomes. We've got to let go of those outcomes. We can't make them that the end all in and of itself. Our end all is how we live each day. It's not what happens in the outcome. If you start tackling each day, each moment of each day, kind of gets back to John Maxwell's book, Today Matters. Yes, my goal is to be platinum presidential, if that happens to be your goal. Yes, but if I didn't get there by the date, you know what? Today, what I do each day is what matters. Who I am as a being each day is what matters. Living my life in that higher self is what matters each day, not the outcome. Okay, so write your goals down. After each one, you can just say, or whatever the grand design has in store for me, it's all happening perfectly for my highest good. And you, grand design is her terminology, of course, I would say, or whatever the Lord has in store for me. I always, it's about what the Lord, for me, and that's just who you, what that spiritual side of you dictates. So I put her language in there, not saying it's my language, but I gave it, that's why I put quotes around it, but whatever that is for you. Number five, here's your fifth tool. So four is let go of outcomes. That doesn't mean you don't set goals. Don't take it wrong, people. Always goals. Be goal-driven. Do visualization. Motivate yourself. Move yourself. Use present tense on those goals. It all is effective to move you forward. But don't get so wrought up and tied up into the outcome that it destroys you. It's about what? It's about it's all happening perfectly for my highest good. But just strive very hard to meet that. Build a plan. Work the plan. Okay? Now let's go on to the next one. Five. Number five is what? Practice making no-lose decisions. Now, this is really tough for some people. And I put in the outline, I talked about analysts in particular, because analysts tend to get really stuck. They have a hard time making decisions. Why? Because what runs their life is, I don't want to make a mistake. Well, I don't think anyone, I don't know anyone out there that wants to make a mistake. I tend to have a higher percentage in the promoter quadrant, and I don't want to make mistakes either. But when a mistake happens, I embrace the mistake because it just tells me what? It just tells me I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm learning. It was a way that didn't work, you know. And then I look at how could have I avoided that, and then if there wasn't a way to avoid it, it's just part of a process. Or if there was a way that I could avoid it, then I implement new steps in my process to make it better. So it's a wonderful thing. And I just had a major thing like this happen in my real estate, what I'm doing in real estate. And it was just incredible. I mean, I lost some money on it, but you know what? It was a beautiful thing. And the people around me, it's amazing, the people around me that were so worried about the little bit of money that I lost. And I kept thinking, wow, that comes from scarcity thinking. And I saw it all around me. Some of my brokers and everything, it was really kind of crazy. But I kept thinking to myself, Mary Jo, you don't even go there. You just are ecstatic about the lesson you learned. I learned so much through the process. Just a blessing. It was a blessing to learn. But you know, analysts have a hard time doing that. So you got to get out of it. So how do I get out of this, freezing, being frozen? Some of you can relate to this. You get frozen around making decisions. You got to get rid of the but what ifs, because what ifs are what freeze you. They stop you absolutely cold. So she has a four-step process. Number one, after each decision that you want to make, make the statement, I can't lose regardless of the outcome of the decision I make. I look forward to the opportunities for learning and growing that either choice gives me. Wow. I can't lose regardless of the outcome of the decision I make. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say? Number two, do your homework in advance. In other words, answer questions like, who can I talk to? Who can you get as mentors in your life that will help you make the best possible decision? Where can I get information to help me? Where can I look for information? Now, this is sometimes where analysts get stuck too, because they never get enough information. You got to make sure that you're not becoming like a collector of information for 5 years to make a decision that most people would have made in 1 week, all right? But you do want to collect information. Do some research on it so you're better prepared. What else can I do to learn as much as I can about either choice? In other words, is there something else I can do to help me make this decision? And then make the decision. Collect your data, make the decision. Now, the promoter's problem is they don't like to collect the data. They rather just decide and worry about the data later. That's not very responsible either, but it tends to be their behavior. So each quadrant has a problem around decision-making, but the idea is go through the process and then make the decision. And why do you want to do this? Well, you want to do it because the alternative isn't very good. You know, you want to make sure that you put yourself out there making the decision. The alternative behind this, I didn't go through three and four. Second, I gave you the second, which is do your homework in advance. Three is do some soul searching. How does each option align with my core values? I think this is a critical part of all of our lives. Every single time we make a decision, we always should go back to core values. That's why I love doing core value analysis, because I believe if you always evaluate your activities in conjunction with your core values, the 5 to 7 most important core values you have, you'll stay away from bunny trails. So, and look at your priorities in your life. That's number three. And number four is trust your intuition. So those are the four steps she gives us. Trust your intuition. Listen to your gut after you do the other three steps. Because inside of you is another voice to be heard. Some of us can call it our Holy Spirit. Some of us can call it different things. Intuition, whatever you want to refer to it as, but it's a guiding light that's within all of us. That we all have. So trust that intuition. And those are the four steps. So that's your four-step process of evaluating decisions and making decisions. And this is just a great, I like her exercise tool. I like to put this kind of structure around it so everybody follows it to help you make those decisions. She gave us, in the book, she gives you a, what's called the no-win model so that, you know, you have a way of making a decision and saying, whatever happens, I'll handle it. The alternative is the no-win model, which is the no-action model. Don't make the decision. So you can the no-win model is, if I make the wrong decision, it will ruin my life. If you keep listening to your mind, it'll drive you crazy. Paralyze yourself with anxiety as you try to predict the future. Don't trust your impulses. Listen to what everyone else thinks. Feel yourself drowning in the heaviness of having to make a decision. That's your pre-decision-making process for the no-win model. Get the difference between I'll handle it, I can't lose, regardless of the outcome of the decision I make, I can't lose. How many of you go the other direction? Here's the no-win again. Listen to it. If I make the wrong decision, it will ruin my life. You keep listening to your mind as it tries to drive you crazy. Paralyze yourself with anxiety as you try to predict the future. Don't trust your impulses. Listen to what everyone else thinks. Feel yourself drowning in the heaviness of having to make a decision. Are you stuck in that? Then you're stuck in the no-win model. I suggest you read this book, specifically page 93 and 94. Go over it and over it. After, in the no-win model, after you make a decision, you create anxiety by trying to control the outcome. You convince yourself you made the wrong decision. If it does work out, you keep wondering if it would have been even better the other way. Are you guys getting this? How many of you feel that's part of your thought patterning? It's called the no-win model. Gotta get rid of it. It's people who can make themselves miserable even when they're supposed to be happy. It's amazing how we do that to ourselves, right? It's incredible. Okay, so be careful of that, but just get out there, make great decisions, get the background behind it. If it doesn't work out for you, you know what? You can't lose. Regardless of the outcome of the decision you make, you cannot lose. Number six, expand your comfort zone. All right? I want everybody to write a box. If you put a box on a piece of paper right now, and then I want you inside the box, I want you to draw four arrows, one pointing up, one pointing to the right, one pointing to the down, one pointing to the left. Now, those arrows now represent to you what happens. The box is your comfort zone. It's basically what I call your known zone. It's where you're comfortable because somehow it's known. It doesn't mean you're comfortable because it's a nice place to live or exist. It's just a known zone. It's what you know about today. So risks are outside, right? When you go outside the box, if you put little stars outside your box on your piece of paper, that's where everything you want in life exists. Oh, Mary Jo, I didn't want you to tell me that. Yeah, that's really true. You know, you want to be platinum presidential? It's way outside your box. Well, I mean way outside. Because what is it going to take for you to get there? You guys want, some of you on this call want to be just national director, or you want to be executive director. Everybody has a different goal for the Manatech business, or presidential. Whatever that goal is, it's outside your box. Because it's going to take a lot of uncomfortable things for you to get there. Does that make sense to all of you? But the intriguing thing about taking risks, every single time you take a risk, what you're doing is you're extending. Now I want you to go around that box that you just drew on your piece of paper and draw a dotted line box on the outside of it about a quarter inch outside the box. So now you've got two boxes, one that's a complete line, and then you have dotted lines that's a quarter inch outside of it, bigger than the box you initially drew. That's what you're doing when you take a risk. Your risk, and you keep taking more and more risks, and you're going to get dotted lines that are just keep expanding and expanding and expanding until all of a sudden, guess what? Your box is no longer going to fit on that piece of paper, just like your comfort zone now becomes what? Life. You're comfortable doing anything because you're so used to taking risks and stepping outside. There is no box left to step outside. So because taking a risk a day forms, and she says, this is her language, taking a risk a day forms a safety net that you create for yourself that reassures you over and over again that you can handle whatever happens in your life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So her idea is to make a list of 30 risks that you like to take in the next month. And some of you are going to go, Mary, I can't even think of 30 risks. I'm not talking about jumping off a bridge. People, risks are things that are just outside the comfort zone. There's something different. Doing something different. A risk for some of you might be sitting down at the dining room table and asking your husband to honestly be honest with you and tell you, what was his day like? Is there a way you can support him? How many of you want, that's a risk. I can think of 100 ways I can take risks just with my husband, but it's you just with that one relationship. But you just got to get creative and start thinking about what would be a risk for you. And draw and make a list of 30 risks and then do one each day. And when you complete it on a daily basis, you go, yes, I did it. What is my next risk? And you take on a new one. You'll become a risk monger, I'm going to suggest to you, because it's so exhilarating to take a risk, to push yourself out of the comfort zone. So if you find yourself stuck here as you're making this, you know, concept of developing these risks and you're hesitant, you just want to keep saying the following affirmation. Whatever happens, I'll handle it. Whatever happens, I'll handle it. There's your affirmation. Remember, you want to stop the chatterbox. Who's the chatterbox? You might name them George or Schmuck or whatever, but, you know, whatever happens, I'll handle it. Use those affirmations to handle the chatterbox. But that's what expanding your comfort zone is about. You're going to expand that comfort zone. 7, uncover the payoffs. What are payoffs? Reasons why people stay in negative situations. Whoa. Well, why would anyone stay in a negative situation? We all do. How many of you are in a job right now that you don't like? Ta-da, there you go. So you're in a negative situation. You don't like it. You don't like your job. In fact, there's some statistic that says like between 70 and 80% of the people don't like their job in our country. Wow, that's incredible. No wonder there's so much Prozac consumed in this country. If you don't like your job and you stay in it, there's a reason you're staying in it. The reason is the payoff. So why are you staying in your job? You like the pay. It's comfortable. You have no pressure. It's easy. You don't want to change. You know, all these are reasons. These are payoffs. Those are the payoffs, they're called. You're established them. I call them rationalizations or excuses. But I'll tell you one thing. All those payoffs lead to the same result. You're playing life small. I can't imagine working a job 8 hours a day for 40 years of my life, retiring and going, I never liked my job. Trust me, people, whatever you do, quit the job today and go find something else. Who cares about the money? You know, your happiness is critical. I kept stumbling along in law for years and years. I loved the challenge. Trust me. The intellectual challenge was unbelievable. But I wasn't liking myself. I wasn't liking the arena. I wasn't liking what it represented. I wasn't liking the idea that I was making millionaires, billionaires. There was just something very lacking and not rewarding in it for me. I needed to be more on a ground floor. I wanted to touch people's lives and in people's lives more than putting millions of dollars in their pocket. So I was not happy. Now, would it have been easy for me to continue in that job? Absolutely. Absolutely. I could have retired at 55, 65, whatever I wanted to, making lots of money, no problem. But you know what? There was an emptiness there, an emptiness. So the idea is, are you going to let the payoffs being your payoff? And most of it, we go victim to our environment. Oh, but I can't do that, Mary Jo, because I have to support my family. I have to have to. The minute you use the word I have to, I can't quit my job because I have to. Have to language is victim language. Because everything in life is a choice. It's a choice. We make choices. You may not see it, but it's a choice. Don't go victim. The minute you go in victim, what are you doing? You're tying yourself down. You're making other people responsible. You're not taking on personal responsibility. You're making situations, environments, other people responsible for your life. That's inappropriate. How many right now are going victim to the Texas AG in Manatech? I hear it all the time. I travel on the road. I was out in Phoenix, and I heard, oh, I can't believe we can't use testimonials. I can't believe we can't use these materials. I'm just so sick and tired. I mean, every time I hear this, my head hurts. It really gives me a headache. It's stuck in victim, and people don't get it. And it's so hard for me because I listen to it, and I go, I just wish I could take them under my wing and just, but I can only say a little bit because I love them, and I don't want them to be offended by it, but I also want them to get it that it's, you're stuck. You're choosing to stay stuck. I do. That's exactly how I respond. You're choosing into staying stuck for no good reason, except maybe it gives you an excuse why your business isn't working. Is that important to you? You want to write on your tombstone, I had an excuse why my business didn't work. Wow. So what are you giving up? When you buy into payoffs, what do you give up? Joy, fulfillment, happiness, peace of mind, satisfaction, self-respect, confidence. You give up all that. So is it a price you want to pay? I don't know. It's your choice. You can choose to be victim, or you can choose to be responsible, and you can step into this life of fulfillment. So list one area of your life you feel you're stuck, and it could be your manifest business. Here's your exercise. Then ask, what payoffs, reasons, excuses would I have to give up to change my situation? What do I have to let go of? Oh, I have to let go of, in Manatech, what could it be? I have to let go of that we lost all the ability to do testimonials, that the Texas AG and we have bad press. I'd have to let go of that the comp plan doesn't work for me. I'd have to let go of that that the prices, oh, there's another one, the shipping cost or the price, the increase in prices in February, because no company should have a right to increase their price, even when all their costs are going up. I mean, really? I'd have to give up my complaint about new management. We have co-CEOs. I'd have to give up my complaint. Those are the things you'd have to give up. Can you guys give that up? Can you give up the negativity that you've established around facts, that you somehow converted them into something negative? Then after you choose that, then you got to look at what were you going to gain by letting go of the payoffs. Oh, my goodness. Your business could flourish. I don't know. I just know one thing. It's not going to flourish with your attitude right now. It has no chance. It's a no-win situation for you. If and when the benefits outweigh the cost, then you'll change. But it's a costly thing to stay stuck in a no-win situation. So make a to-do list of what you need to do in order to change. Make that to-do list. Look at your little voice. What are you buying into on all those things? And maybe more around your Manatech business. What is it that's holding you back? What is that lower self-talk saying to you today about your Manatech business? Number 8, take back your life. Yes, we have a choice. Don't go victim. Take responsibility. We talked a little bit about that earlier. This is a huge one. Complaining. She talked about complaining. How many of you people complain from time to time? How many of you hear other people complain? There's really no place in the face of the earth for complaining. I love that. I don't know if she actually said that, but I'm telling you, that's what I say. Complaining is a very common activity in someone living in lower self. So the minute you hear yourself complaining, just acknowledge you, I am living in my lower self. If that makes you proudful that you can be living in your lower self, then that's where you happen to be in life. I don't want to spend a moment in lower self. I want to spend it in higher self, every moment in higher self. That's my goal, every moment. But complaining all is lower self. It's all lower self. Now, what do you mean, Mary Jo, why can't I make a comment? Well, yeah, you can make comments about things. You can look at something and say, wow, could this be better? Yeah, not complaining. It's called constructive criticism. It's called construction. You're going to come up with constructive feedback, not complaining. Oh, I wish Manatech went to raise their prices. Rah, rah, rah. Lower self. There you go. Victim, lower self, out of control, choosing to not to be responsible. Da, da, da. It doesn't even faze me that they raise the prices. Not even one iota. They raise the prices. Great. I ran businesses. People, we have to raise prices because costs go up. Part of life. So you just got to look at what is it, can I release that? Can I get away from complaining? You're just hounded into what? Lower self-existence. So get yourself out of that complaining mode and get yourself into what? a mode of positive. It goes back to when you're tuned into your lower self versus higher self. And I gave you a chart on the back side as an attachment. You can look at it. It's called The Choice is Mine. The Choice is Mine. Look at that chart. It goes through, when I'm tuned into my higher self, what am I going to be like? Where am I going to be? When I'm tuned into my chatterbox or my lower self, and that's what this is about. If you let your life stay in that lower self quadrant or concept, you're going to end up being in that negative, you know, you're going to be insensitive, you're going to try to control things, you're going to be out of control. What you resist persists. So let go of the resistance. What you resist persists. Everything is happening in its perfect way. And then she has an exercise about it. Make a list of all the things you complain about. What are you complaining about? I wish all of you would do it about Manatech. Your choice. If you don't know what you complain about, you can ask a friend. They'll tell you because they've been listening to you. And they can say, oh, my gosh, you complain about this, you complain about this, you complain about this, you complain about this, you complain about this. They can help you. And then after, when you do that, what you want to do is make a list of everything you complain about. Then list what it is that you blame or who it is that you blame for that situation. And then after you do that, you put afterwards, how in each instance does this make you feel? You complain about this. Who are you blaming for it? What are you blaming? What's blaming for it? Da, da, da. And then how does that make you feel? And when you get done with that vomit that you find on that piece of paper, you're going to want to throw it away so fast. But it's an exercise to go through just to see where you are living today. Okay? And it's something that you can keep with you. That's a good exercise from time to time. Number 9 is find friendly friends. And this is about finding friends that are supportive of you. It doesn't mean get rid of the friends you have. It just means that you're going to have friends that you can make a list. The be careful friends and the go for it friends, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Your be careful friends are like the analyst, like my husband. He's always leery. Oh my gosh, what are you doing now? What are you doing? You know, and he's always careful and he wants everything all plotted out. My go for it friends are my other promoters that are kind of going, Mary Jo, go for it. You ought to try it. You ought to tackle it. Whatever, anything's possible. I believe that scripture. Anything's possible through him. So I'm kind of a go for it person. But you want to, when you're going to make a decision about doing something in your life, you don't want to go back to your be careful friends. You want to go to your go for it friends. Get people to support your self-confidence that you're going to make this happen. And her exercise here is list 10 of the higher self qualities, and you've got the list, the choice is mine, 10 of the higher self qualities you would like to have in your friends, and then who do you have to work on first? You, because like attracts like. So you've got to work on those 10 qualities to attract them. Number 10, create a grid of life. In our grid of life, this is a critical issue. Boy, people are going to go a little bit over today. Sorry, too much great stuff here. And the grid of life is an incredible concept that she came up with, and I love it because I see so many people sometimes they become so focused on one thing. And if you look at Stephen Covey's book, you'll find some of this when you talk about family focus. Where's your focus? Work focus. You can find people who have different focuses. And they're so central in this focus that it robs them and it creates tremendous fear in their life. So a person that's like totally focused on Manatech, what is the fear that destroys them is the fear of success or the fear of failure with Manatech because it's their whole life. It's their whole grid. They have one central focus. If your central focus is family, there's some people out there that's all it is. Their whole central focus of their life, their family runs their life. They live in fear every day of something happening. I talk to them people and say, well, my daughter's doing this, and I'm scared that she's going to, and I'm going, why? I mean, they have fears about the silliest things. It's because they have centrist thinking. They have one person. So what she's saying is you want to support getting out of fear, then you've got to create a grid of life that encompasses many areas. I put a copy of the grid that she proposes. You have it as attached to the outline. And you can look at it. It has 9 categories. And if we look at those 9 categories, they should all be important to us. And you must know and count in all these areas of your life that you want to be important in all of them as well. So how are you being important in all those 9 categories? And you want to make sure that when you're in those categories, you're 100% committed. So if you're doing family, you're not getting out your work phone and doing work when you're with your family. You're 100% committed to that time with the family. I went to the Ranger preseason game. I was with family on Friday night. I was 100% committed to be a family. We had a blast. I didn't bring my cell phone even with me. I wasn't going to take a business call or a prospecting call or whatever else. And you know what? I honored them. I didn't prospect while I was at the stadium. I was with family, 100% with family. So the idea is you want to look at examples of your life of where in these nine quad, you know, grid, what are these areas? Where are you giving 100% and are they important? How do you want it to look like being important in those categories? The 11th, it's a great exercise. The 11th one is open your eyes to the abundance, and that's the art of gratitude. And, of course, we always want to have a heart of gratitude. And we just constantly want to be in that realm of recognizing every day of our life, the beauty around us and the greatness around us, and always have that heart of gratitude. So it's part of even our daily dozen with the MAP program. You got to show gratitude every day. So you want to make 50 things that you're grateful for in your life. Just do that today, and you'll see a difference. It'll transform you. Now, it may be temporary because you don't want to focus on it. You only do it during the exercise, but I focus on all the things I'm grateful for every day. Not all the things, but yeah, I always am acknowledging gratefulness for things in my life. If I focused on all the things I'm grateful for every day, I would be spending all my life just being grateful. I mean, and gratefulness is part of who I am, but I've got to focus on getting some work done, too. So you can't just do exercises all day long. But it's a great exercise to do, and then you just grab onto those things. And then the 12th exercise is give it away. Focus on being a giver, and your fear will dissipate. And this is so much what I tell people, even with Manatech. When you're doing your Manatech business, people have so much fear. This is a classic. When we go into a one-on-one with people, we have fear. Oh, will they see it? Will they join? Will I be able to get them signed up? Will they get started on the products? Oh, what if they think this? What if they think? And we get all caught up and wrought up in all that garbage. If any of you are doing that, I want you to stop it. Yes, do preparation. Be prepared. Try to do the best you can in your presentation. But when you get with people, you focus 100% on them. It's impossible for you to carry fear into that if you're focusing on them. And that's exactly what this is saying. If you give, if you're in the giving mood, we're about what? Need fulfillment business. I'm there to listen to them, to be the greatest listener I can be, to love on them, to give them the greatest gift that I can give them. So I give them these gifts about wellness, about life, about spirituality, my gifts that I'm giving, that I give and give and give and give. And I focus on them, so it's not about me. So I'm telling you, your fear will dissipate if you just focus on the other person, right? And I liked her statement. She says, ultimately, your spiritual journey in life asks that you transform yourself from a needy, taking child to an abundant, giving adult. All right, and the last thing I want to bring up for you guys, I gave you some things. I gave you a contract at the end that was part of the kickoff of her book. But the other thing I gave you, she developed at the end of her book, like the last, 50 or so pages, we're just focused on a 30-day program. And I think it's terrific. But I don't think you have to get the book to do it. If you want to get the book because you haven't gotten it yet and you like some of the things you heard today, then get the book and go through these. But the other thing you can do is you can set up a 30-day program yourself, because I gave you the meat of what that 30-day program is. Every day you fill out, you have two pages, and I gave you what was day three in your hand and your attachments to your outline. Day three, the first thing is a statement of intention. That you develop. You can copy this one if you like it, if it fits you, but it's a statement of intention, and you have it. It doesn't change day in and day out. That stays the same. The second page of your daily action plan is you can see where it says day three affirmation, okay? It says on there, the first thing that is on the top of it is your affirmation. The one that you have there is, I keep my heart open to receive all the riches before me. Does everybody get that? That changes every day. In other words, you choose a new affirmation on a daily basis. So that's the one thing that changes every day in terms of your sheets. But the fill-in, of course, changes every day, too, because what are you going to do each day in all those, that grid, your life grid? So So what are you doing to commit for your spiritual growth today? What am I doing in relationships today? What am I doing in regard to family today? What am I doing with friends today? What am I doing in my personal growth area today? How am I spending alone time? What is my contribution to the community going to look like today? Play time, what am I going to do just to have fun? Right? And then work. What am I going to accomplish in my job today? And that might be your to-do list that you just say, see, to-do list. And then you have a risk of the day. Each day you fill out, what is your risk for the day? Maybe your risk is going to give your husband flowers. That's a risky thing. You've never done it before. It's uncomfortable. And then you list what you're grateful for. So this is a form you can fill out every single day that helps you start focusing on what? And you draft a new affirmation every day. She has 30 different affirmations in there that if you got the book, you could use hers. But like her affirmation for day one was, I am powerful and I am loving and I have nothing to fear. That's her first one, right? And then she fills this out, and this is her mechanism of incorporating a number of these different exercises on a 30-day program. You can see you're taking a risk every day, you're being grateful every day, you're contributing to your grid, you have a life grid of 9 important categories and areas. The bottom thing, let me just highlight that and then we're done. At the bottom you see, where do I stand on my pain to power chart? The pain to power chart is something that she came up with. It gives you a way to gauge where you are. Your goal in this thing, of course, when you start off, you might be in the pain area because you have a lot of fear in your life. So you're over here on the far left side. Well, as you go along in your 30-day program, you chart yourself and see how you're feeling with regard to fears. And are you getting to feel more powerful and start to dissipate? Because they might be there, but they're dissipating. They don't impact you like they did before. They don't have that same, they don't stop you. You're not stuck. So you're really, getting closer and closer to that, the right side. So the whole concept here is not where you are on the continuum, but the fact that you're on the continuum and you continue to go and move towards the right. That's the most important thing on your pain to power chart. Okay, people, that's it. Do I have any feedback? How was this for you guys? Did you learn anything? Was it impactful?
Just powerful, just what we need.
I'm
just blown away because I've been reading different books, Maxwell and all the other little things, and then they've just fallen into place. And
yeah, isn't it something? Evangeline, thanks. Yeah, it's exactly.
Just really good. I wanted to jump in right away because I did not want to waste the time to let you know. All these complaints and all these stuff, I feel just like you. Ooh, when the testimonies are not there, hey, listen, focus on the wellness.
Yeah.
Focus on the wellness. I mean, we've been going after sick people. Let's do it for everybody.
And thank you.
God.
Absolutely.
Hi, Mary Jo. This is Fred.
Hi, Fred.
I was just wondering, now you mentioned last week or so that you're going to have a segment on your future calls a little bit about Mexico, getting things lined up and everything.
Yep.
Will that start next week or what?
Start next week, yep.
Okay, great.
Because I'm heading to Mexico, and, of course, I'm doing a lot of things. I can give you, I'll give you a suggestion. Here's a little suggestion for you guys who want to work on Mexico. I've sent out, 50 invites to my house for next Monday night. And it's just the people that I had business cards of, whatever, and I sent them a little email that just was kind of impactful, empowering, because I want to have a explosion of this Mexico. And I don't know if people are going to come or not, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because it's all going to work out perfectly, right? It's all going to happen perfectly. So the idea is, how was I going to get people who might have an interest, who really want to make a difference in their life? And I'll be more than happy. You know what I'll do for you this, because I already did that one little item. I will send to you guys, I will have Lydia send you a copy of my email. How's that? So
super.
You can actually see how, and they're all a little different, but I'll send you one that, and you'll see, because you're going to address people differently depending on where you met them. But the one I'm going to send you is to a gal I met almost a year ago at an entrepreneur fair. And she never got started. She never signed up for the business. We never went very far with it because she didn't respond to me. So I hit her with this, and I'll send you a copy of that, and you can just see whether, is it something you can use yourself or whatever. But people, we got to get out there and start making things happen. And all I'm going to do at my meeting, maybe next Monday, I'll just give you an outline of what my meeting's going to look like, okay?
Mary Jo, do you have any idea what cities that Manitech will entertain or have those meetings on in Mexico?
I know at least three.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Can you share that? Yeah, can you share those cities?
Mexico City,
okay.
Monterrey, and Guadalajara.
Okay.
Why do I know those three? Because they're the three largest cities in Mexico.
Yeah. Do you think Tijuana might be on that list?
I have no idea. That's a border town.
Right. Is that good or bad?
I don't know. Do you like the Zetas or not? I don't know that they're going to go to border towns. I don't know that. I think that's a real tough thing today. I mean, we're here in Texas, and we have a lot of issues with border town issues, with just what's going on with the cartels. So it's just a tough thing. My suspicion is that they won't pick a border town, but I don't know that. I don't even know that they've chosen. I know that they're going to go to Mexico City. I know they're going to be in Monterrey and you know, 90% chance Guadalajara, because those are the three largest. Now, what other one they might pick, I don't know. We'll know more, you know, in the next month.
Okay. Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, you guys, all right, let me tell you this.
Okay, so you're going to send that email out to us then, right?
I'll send that email out to you. As soon as I get off, I'll tell Lydia which one to send out to you. The other thing I want you to do, I really want you to, like some of you might be like me and you think you're a little fearless. I'm telling you, do some of these exercises. I started working on myself, and like I said, I'm still journaling on an issue for myself, and it's a personal issue. I'm not going to share it with you per se, but it's something that it's part of how I was raised. It going back to my childhood, and it's something I saw before, but I never focused on it, and I never really, you know, grabbed onto it. But it was, and it still is something that comes up in my life that takes me from my higher self to my lower self. And it was just a wonderful experience to work with some of the material she gave me in here to allow me to see it, get really open-eye awareness around it, start tackling it, and understanding how I move forward beyond it. Isn't that neat? And it was so impactful for me. I just want you guys to really work with some of this material today on yourself. And if you really felt some tweaks throughout the call today, go get the book and read the book. It's a great book. But, you know, you've got to move forward. I mean, I don't say you have to, because you can choose to stay stuck. It is a choice. But I just pray for you that you make a decision to move forward and you know, become unstuck in some of those things that are just locking you down. And even if they're like where I am in terms of, you know, you've made a lot of growth, but you still got some, we all have things to work on, all of us, every single one of us. And it's just about working on self first, because that's going to make you better all the way around. All right, you guys, I love you all. Have a great week, and I'll send an email out so you can see what I'm working on in terms of getting that Mexico meeting going at my house next Monday night. Okay, love you.
Pauline, are you there? Pauline?